Psalms chapter 1, please. The book of Psalms chapter 1. Notice with me as we begin reading from verse 1. Psalms chapter 1, wonderful chapter to begin, a great introduction to the book of Psalms. It's a fitting introduction to the entire book. It deals with the way of righteousness contrasted with the way of wickedness. He said in verse 1, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, we ask this evening your blessings and anointing upon the reading of thy word. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the time that you've given us this evening. And Lord, as we look at this chapter, we pray, dear God, that we will see things in here that will cause us to be better servants. Tonight, we do ask your blessings, your guidance, and your leadership, and your hedge upon and around each missionary that's not only represented through this church, but also that's represented from all countries, dear God. We pray your blessings upon them. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll notice with me that as we began here, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." The Holy Spirit gives a picture in this chapter of a blessed man. The key word of this psalm is the word blessed. And this chapter serves as a fitting introduction to the entire book of Psalms. And this chapter is dealing, of course, with the Lord. And it's dealing with the way of the righteous contrasted with the way of the wicked or the ungodly. So it's comparing the two together. In other words, as we come to this chapter, we find that there's two men, and there's two ways, and there's two destinies. The two men that are mentioned in the passage is the blessed man and the cursed man. The two ways are God's ways and man's ways. And then the two destinies, one is eternal life, and the other is eternal death. Before we get into verse 1, well, let's take the first word here just for a moment, and I want you to notice with me that he says in this verse, he said, "Blessed is the man." Blessed. The word blessed basically has the idea of happy or joy, and the Sermon on the Mount opens with this word. And as you go through the Scriptures, this word is used many times, several times throughout the Scripture. And the first time it is used, it's used in Genesis 1 and verse 22, meaning the bestowal of good. And so we find that it is often translated, I believe, the word happy, the word well off. So he begins here, he said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." As we go through the Scriptures, we find that in Deuteronomy 28, the entire chapter is dealing with blessings and curses, the blessings contrasted with the curses. We find that in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, that obedience is required for blessings. That's seen throughout the Scripture. God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28, he said, "I'm going to bless you if you obey my voice." And then he tells them about the kind of blessings that they would have, that covered every area of their life, even down to their children, to their gardens, their flocks, and so forth. He talked about the blessing. Then he talked about the curses also in that chapter for disobedience. Now, the Bible said in Ephesians 1:3 that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many believe that tonight? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings, heavenly places. Sometimes we mope around, we forget about that. But we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, we find that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, that Adam and Eve, that they were blessed by God. The actual verse there says, and God blessed them. What do we mean by that? We mean the Bible is telling us that God bestowed life unto them, goodness unto them, and He gave them happiness. In other words, He created them, He placed them in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says, and God blessed them. He gave them life, He gave them happiness, He gave them joy, He gave them a perfect environment. But then when we read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through about verse 17, we find there was disobedience. And when we find the issue of disobedience, the first thing we run into is a curse. In Genesis 1 and 2, they're blessed by God. And then as we get into Genesis chapter 3, we find there is a curse. And that curse is still upon the earth, and you and I are still connected with it and associated with it even to this day. So as we come to the Scriptures and we consider this word, it's worthy of our study, it's worthy of our consideration. So verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're not to stand with them, walk with them, sit with them. He said, blessed is the man that does not get himself involved with them. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs in chapter 4. In book of Proverbs in chapter 4. He says that we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We are not to be taking their advice. I believe that the majority of Christians today, when they need advice, they run to the world to get it. They get it from the television. They get it from the school system. They get it from a number of ways. But he said that we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't believe there's any such thing as Christian psychologists. How many would agree with me on that? Amen. The Bible is our place that we get counsel. There are those that are on television, radio, and whatever, and they call themselves Christian psychologists. There's no such thing. Notice with me in the book of Proverbs. Notice we're not to negotiate anything with the ungodly, the sinner. We're not to negotiate with them. The man that negotiated, met the bear on the trail, negotiated with him. The bear walked away with a full stomach, and he ended up with a fur coat. You never win when you try to negotiate with the ungodly. In Proverbs chapter 4, he says in verse 14, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. Turn with me back to Psalms chapter 1. So we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We are not to stand in the way of sinners. We're to be separated from them. And we are not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And this would include a number of people, atheists, agnostics, the skeptics. I mean, we could go on with a list of synonyms, but this would include. So we don't need the counsel then of the ungodly, do we? We don't need that counsel. He said in verse 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now notice the next verse. He goes on talking about the blessed man. He said in verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." The word delight means to take great pleasure in. So then the blessed man that takes no counsel from the ungodly, the Bible says that he delighteth in the law of the Lord. So even Job, in Job 23:12, he said he esteemed God's Word more than his necessary food. As we spent time in Psalms 119, and there were several verses, but especially verse 162, we find that the writer David rejoiced in the Word of God as if he had found $1,000,000. He rejoiced in that. He said, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Verse 2, and then he says, "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." There's several verses that comes to my mind when I see the word meditate, but there's one in particular, and I want you to turn with me. Many of you probably have this memorized, Joshua chapter 1. There's several times this word is used. But notice with me in Joshua in chapter 1. In the book of Joshua in chapter 1. If you're taking notes, Psalms 4 and verse 4, you find the word meditate. We found it in Psalms 119, mentioned a few times. Then in Psalms 63, verses 5 and 6. Now again, the word meditate means to ponder. It means to think. It means to digest, to muse. It means to dwell upon in thought. It's more than just seeing something or hearing something or reading something. It is to think about it. Meditation has a digestive power that turns special truth into nourishment. As we've used the illustration many times of cow that chews the cud, and we use that in reference to meditation. And if the cow did not chew the cud, then the cow would get no nourishment from the grass that it had eaten. Well, we get no nourishment from the Word of God that we have read or that we have heard unless we meditate upon it. The purpose of meditation is that we might surrender our soul, our mind, our heart under the authority of God Almighty. That is the purpose for it. We live in a fast food society, and so everybody wants everything quick. And there's things that just don't come quick in life. And that is true of the Word of God. There's things that just don't come quick. How many have ever read a verse for 10 years and finally one day God says, "Well, I think you're mature enough, I'm going to give you the truth on that"? This happens to me every week. I say, "Lord, why'd you wait 30-something years? This is simple. This is not complicated." Probably because I couldn't handle it back then, you know. Didn't have enough sense or whatever. Notice in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we'll read these two verses together. And this is right before Joshua leads the children of Israel into the promised land. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." He said in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So he told Joshua, as he told Moses. He said, stay in the Word, meditate upon it. In other words, he's not talking about just reading it 24 hours a day. There's nobody can do that, not even a preacher. But he's talking about think about it and meditate upon it and ponder the things in the Word of God. Turn back with me, please, to Psalms. In verse 2, he says, now again, we're talking about the blessed man, the blessed man. He said in verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." See, the ungodly delight is not in the law of the Lord. There's many that are sitting in the pews of churches. Their delight's not in the words of the Lord. They don't want to be there, but they're afraid not to be there. They're afraid God will kill them, so they're kind of between a rock and a hard spot. They don't know what to do about all that. And there they are. There are people just come to church out of necessity because they're afraid God won't bless them or He'll take some money away from them or whatever the case may be, take their health away from them. So they're kind of in a predicament. Brother Ernie and I was talking about a few people that we know and that are in basically involved in the Pentecostal circles, and they've gotten a hold of the truth that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And in the circles they're in, there's hardly anybody left that believes the King James Bible. And so they've got convictions now that this is the Word of God, but nobody in their circles is saying that it's the Word of God. So they're in a predicament. They don't want to be in a fundamental church, and they can't stand to go to the Pentecostal church because they're using every version under the sun. So they're in the mess now. They got to need to go one way or the other. Amen. Well, he said here in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and here in his law did he meditate day and night. We read in Psalms 119 where David would go to bed at night and think about the Word of God. Psalm 63 and other places also talk about that. And so the Word of God played a big part in his life. It doesn't mean he sat and read it all the time, but he would think about it when he was driving or when he was working or whatever the case, walking along. He'd be thinking about the things of God. Now notice in verse 3 we find the stability of this blessed man. In verse 1 he said, blessed is the man. In verse 2 we find where his delight is at. The word delight, by the way, is used in Psalms 37:4, and talking about delighting in the Lord, and He shall give us the desires of our heart. And so we find the man, and then we find his delight and his love for the Word of God. Then in verse 3 we find his stability. In other words, we find him bearing fruit, and he's not only blessed of God, but he's a blessing to others. In verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we find his stability in verse 3. This man that is blessed, that he ignores the counsel of the world, the ungodly, the wicked, the sinners, he'll not listen to them. This man delights in the Word of God. We find his stability now, and we find that he is as a tree planted by the rivers of water, a tree that is well watered, that grows strong and tall. Two verses, Psalms 92. In Psalms 92, verses 12. Psalms 92 and verse 12. It's dealing with the permanency of the blessed man. He's here to stay. He's not going to be tossed to and fro. He's not going to dry up and wither away. He's here to stay. He's here for the long haul. Notice with me as we come to Psalms 92. He says in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Again, the righteous are like a palm tree. Turn to Jeremiah 17. A palm tree never stops bearing fruit, I am told. Never retires its branches. And its branches symbolize victory. Like in Revelation 7, 9. In Jeremiah chapter 17, again the analogy, the illustration is used here again. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord is. Now look in verse 8. For he shall be as, He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, and but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Not a better analogy than that one right there and the one in Psalms. So, come back with me to Psalms chapter 1. The blessed man is permanent. And so he doesn't consider any of the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't sit with them and walk with them and stand with them. He's not in... The word sitting also has the idea of sometimes of teaching. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. The Lord, in Luke chapter 4, He stood up, read the Scriptures, and sat down and began to expound on them many times. And reading the Bible, someone would sit down to teach or to expound upon a particular subject or the Scriptures. So, the blessed man, he does not sit with them. He does not listen to their counsel. Why? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Any of us, if we sit and listen to the wrong thing long enough, it will influence us and rub off on us. Amen? All right, then he delights in the word, in the law of the Lord in verse 2, and he shall be like a tree in verse 3, planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is a promise that God has given to the blessed man. To the man that loves His Word, to the man that walks in the right counsel, this is the promise that God has given to him. Now notice in contrast, in verses 4, 5, and 6, He says in verse 4, He says, the ungodly are not so. So we have the contrast of the righteous man, the unrighteous man. The contrast of the blessed man and the cursed man or woman. He said, the ungodly are not so. In other words, they don't walk in the right places. They don't delight in the things of God. And neither are they permanent. They are not as a tree planted by the river bearing its fruit. He said in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff is blown away by the wind. The tree that's planted by the river will grow up and be strong. I still get amazed at these live oak trees down here on the Gulf. They're not only a beautiful tree, and I like things that stay green year-round. I don't know about you. I don't like the dead look. You know, I like to see greenery year round. And I love these trees. They're beautiful, but they are strong. They are strong. And probably one of the strongest trees in the world. And but they're not like the chaff. The chaff, he said here, shall be blown. The chaff here is that which is worthless, that which is dead, that which has no substance, and it is easily carried away. One fellow said that the yoke of God does not fit stiff necks. How true that is, amen? It does not fit. He says here in verse 4, he says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're not stable. They are not permanent. They may look like they are. They may look like they got everything going for them, but they will eventually be blown away. Only the blessed man will stand and bear fruit until the end. He says in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Then he says in verse 6, he says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, notice, shall perish. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's take two verses and we'll close. Turn over to Matthew 3, dealing with the chaff. Matthew chapter 3. a familiar verse associated with John the Baptist and his ministry. Notice in Matthew chapter 3. Let me begin reading in verse 9. This is where John is preaching to the nation of Israel. And he preached unto them, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Messiah was there. And he says here in verse 9, or verse 8, he said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And he said in verse 9, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham their father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And now also the axe is laid in the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand." Now look at this. "And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." A separation in the end. Matthew 13 deals with separation of the wheat and the tares, but here's a separation between the two in the end, and he will destroy the chaff. It will be burned up. One last passage and we'll close. Isaiah 26. "Until the Lord leads me otherwise on Wednesday night and our as devotionals, as we come here, we're going to take, at least for now, one chapter out of Psalms each Wednesday night. And we may go through the whole book. We've already covered Psalms 119, but we may go through the whole book. Notice with me in Isaiah in chapter 26, and we'll close in this passage right here. I like to keep our Wednesday night centered around scriptures like these and things like this, us coming here to pray and to seek the Lord and get on our knees together with one another and seek God's face and to pray and intercede and bring our petitions before Him and supplications. This is why I'm drawn to the book of Psalms. In Isaiah, chapter 26, two verses we'll close in. He said in verse 3 and verse 4, he said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." The blessed man keeps his mind stayed on the Lord. Amen? Keeps his mind stayed on the Lord. Well, we'll stop right here for this evening.